From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of, you.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
For the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand. Just dreaming, stitching.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 4th of April, 2016.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome, I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman. Associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks is off this week one more time. And she will return on future programs. Spectrum 360 is copyright 2016 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. Imagine that. On Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 4th of April, 2016. Focus of this program is election politics, a film, and the environment. Segment one, live by telephone, an interview with Michael Fox, State Director of Progressive Democrats of America and a Bernie Sanders campaign organizer on the primary elections and the Bernie Sanders campaign. Remember, tomorrow is the Wisconsin primary election. Go out and vote if you're in Wisconsin and a registered voter. And of course, the New York primary election is coming as well. We'll discuss all that with Michael Fox, who's become a regular on Spectrum 360 this winter and spring as we discuss the primary elections in the United States. And then segment two, recorded the weekly Jim Hightower commentary for this edition of Spectrum 360. This week's commentary will start with a personal note and a Jim Hightower commentary program note directly from Jim himself on the future of the commentary. And then a Jim Hightower commentary on the subject of the Republican Party platform. And should the country adopt it? This is not what you think. So listen closely to that segment. That's going to be fun. Jim's got some surprises for you.
Jim Radioactive Hightower has a new schedule for his Little Pops of Populism commentaries. Hear about it today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
And then segment three, a Spectrum 360 film preview of the new film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Change Can't Change. And also, since we consider another film very important as well, we will rebroadcast the film preview for the great new documentary film, Hot Water, that was released last year. These documentaries really go together in a very complimentary way, so we're going to do that for segment three. It'll actually be two film previews. And then segment four, recorded the speech by Michael Brune, executive director of the Sierra Club, at the press conference announcing the Sierra Club's Ready for 100 campaign. That was held on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2016, at the Sierra Club Florida State Headquarters Office, which is in St. Petersburg, 1990 Central Avenue, in a net zero building. Now, last week, we did broadcast about half of this speech. We did not have time to broadcast the whole speech. It's about 10 minutes. And just to give you the best context, and it is an important speech, we're going to rebroadcast it in its entirety in this program, fit the whole speech in. So you'll hear the whole speech on this week's Spectrum 360. Next week on Spectrum 360, we'll have more elections coverage. Again, the Jim Hightower commentary, of course, which is a recurring feature every week on this program and a staple now. Also, we'll be featuring more information from that Ready for 100 event. And there is just so much coming at us. There's a major scandal that's happened with a Panamanian law firm. Have you heard about that one? We're going to do some reporting on that next week. There's going to be extensive repercussions from what is happening with this major, major leak of documents from this Panamanian law firm. Wow. And there's a lot of other things happening as well. So we're going to cover all that on Spectrum 360. So we'll be back with that in a moment. But first, we got to play Michael Fox's favorite music, right? Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Tell me why you liked Roosevelt. Poor man's friend. That's why I liked Roosevelt. Poor man's friend. That's why I liked Roosevelt. Poor man's friend. Good God Almighty, he's the poor man's friend. Cause in the year of 1932, we had no idea just what we would do.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
And of course, on this program, Spectrum 360, when you hear that music, it means only one thing, usually. And that's that we're about to start a live, via telephone, interview with Michael Fox, State Director of Progressive Democrats America, and a Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer extraordinaire. Michael, can you hear me?
Hey there, brother. I indeed can.
Okay, and I can hear you as well, so the call quality is excellent. Let's get right into our interview with Michael Fox. Michael, just today... This is just great. Tonight, this is Monday, the 4th of April, 2016. Tonight, in Wisconsin, where they are conducting their primary election tomorrow, on Tuesday, in Milwaukee, we're having dueling campaign events. Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah, on the same street.
Yes, right across the street from each other, a Donald Trump rally and a Bernie Sanders rally. And then within a block of both those venues, there's another venue which is hosting the circus.
How appropriate.
Yeah, how appropriate. That was just hilarious. I had a good laugh when I saw that the circus was in town across the street from these two political campaigns.
Well, what really struck me about that is, number one, Bernie's campaign really treading the line well there, respecting people's right. Like they said, what's your position on whether or not any Bernie people should let the Trump rally know how they felt? And the opinions on that within the Bernie community are all across the spectrum. There are some supporters of Bernie's who think that that's absolutely insane to go and do. There are other people who say, I'm all about that. So I think that Bernie did a wonderful job, and actually it was his campaign manager, Weaver, who said everyone has a First Amendment right, and we can certainly understand why, given Trump's opinions, paraphrasing here obviously, but given Trump's opinions, that they would feel the need to let Mr. Trump know that those opinions are not theirs. We suggest that folks just fill up our event and have a good time with Bernie. So he's done, he's officially laid out, he doesn't want to start any trouble with the Trump people, et cetera, et cetera. What I think is most important in that story is Bernie's venue holds like 10,000 people, and Trump's venue holds like 3,000 people. So enough said.
Well, no, it was actually 7,000. But having said that, the early indications from that rally were that there was hardly anybody there, that the attendance was very low, way lower than the average Trump rally has been over the last few days and weeks and months. In fact, one characterization of it was that it was being attended only by reporters. And this was being reported on the Rachel Maddow show as I left the Spectrum 360 studio to come to the radio studio to broadcast this program. I was monitoring that situation. Yeah, they said there was hardly anybody there except for reporters. So maybe this is the often predicted but never realized collapse of the Trump campaign. Very interesting to see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
Yeah, so that was very interesting to see what was going on in Milwaukee. And my friend Ruth Conniff of the Progressive magazine, who participated in a panel discussion in 2012 during the Republican National Convention here in Tampa, was interviewed in Milwaukee by Chris Hayes, and she had some interesting things to say about that too, and basically just covered what I've just covered with you. Pretty interesting stuff. Now, what are you expecting for the primary election in the state of Wisconsin tomorrow and in New York? There's been a fair amount of controversy about this between the Sanders campaign and the Clinton campaign and supporters and detractors. What's your take?
Well, first and foremost, if we do our job half as well as Bernie's doing his, and folks are hitting the phone like I was running a phone bank for Progressive Democrats of America all day long, missed out on some of the news as a result, but we do our jobs as well as Bernie's doing his, and we've got a 10-plus point win tomorrow. The polls, the most recent poll out, suggested 8 points, and Bernie always tends to do better than the poll. So I'm predicting a double-digit win, which I don't know that we can expect the type of a win that we saw in Washington necessarily, you know, the 30 points, 40 points, 50 points sort of stuff that we've seen on the West Coast, because after all, this is Scott Walker's state. But in any event, we anticipate a good day tomorrow, most definitely. And then what comes after that, what everybody's forgetting in this mix, is Wyoming is on Saturday. And we anticipate Bernie will take that as well. Wonderful lead-ins to the 19th, which is New York. And Bernie has done nothing but chip away at her lead. She was over 20 points a month ago. Last poll is 12 points or so. So we anticipate Bernie can pull something out there, especially if we do well tomorrow.
Yes, interesting. So I've seen some controversy between the Sanders and Clinton campaigns. Have you seen this recent controversy where there was a Greenpeace member that questioned Hillary Clinton about her receiving campaign funds from the fossil fuel industry? And she got angry, basically, and said, "I'm sick of the Sanders campaign lying." And I don't think there is a lie involved there, but that's what she said. So I think, according to my analysis of the situation, basically, she blamed the Sanders campaign for something that did not originate with the Sanders campaign, which was also the information that the Greenpeace activist discussed whether was actually accurate. So she was wrong in two ways. Do you have an opinion on that?
Definitely. And just for those folks who aren't following what Mark and I are talking about here, because it is kind of convoluted and 43 different twists and turns in it.
The bottom line is...
Greenpeace asked all of the candidates to sign a pledge that you will not take money from the fossil fuel industry. Now, Bernie signed the pledge. Bernie has not taken anything from the fossil fuel industry. Bernie has asserted that the Clinton campaign has. Here is what he bases that on. He discounts, and I think that this is only fair, and I believe Greenpeace agrees, that if you have a clerk, if you have a person who works at a gas station, et cetera, a worker who is tossing in $20 into a campaign, no big deal. The spirit of Greenpeace's pledge is that, number one, no checks being traced from actual big corporate entities or big checks from those people whose job it is to influence policy, people like CEOs, top shelf management, and most importantly, lobbyists for those big oil firms. And that is where the Clinton campaign fails in that process. Number one, they did not sign the pledge. And number two, there is a money trail that's just right there. It's blatant, where she has lobbyists who bundle money for her to the tune of millions for not only her campaign but her super PAC, and likewise major players in the industry who max out to her. I think that Bernie is 100% right to bring up that contrast, because what they fire back is, and it's true, if you take a look, Bernie, it's like $50,000. $50,000 have come from gas station attendants, et cetera, just folks in the process. And she's tried to blow that out of proportion.
Yeah, understood. I mean, she has not signed that pledge. And, you know, basically through the super PAC and other means, she's taking it that money indirectly. She probably is factually correct in the fact that she's, what I understand, the campaign itself has not accepted donations from corporations in the oil and gas industry and the fossil fuel industry. But, of course, that leaves open the possibility that she's accepting them from employees of the industry. And I understand why they might donate to Hillary Clinton. And I have to say, that might not be the negative that it appears to be, because they might be ticking. Maybe there are fossil fuel workers that are have realized what the problems with their industry is, and that they're taking money from the industry that they're earning, and they're giving it to a candidate that they think is going to take positive action to mitigate the problems that the industry is creating. So there might be positive reasons for the donations from oil and gas industry workers to the Clinton campaign. It might be not all negative, and we have to recognize that.
Most assuredly. But the thing that is most characteristic in this whole process, and it's something I will say, it's a dark power that Hillary does wield well, and before her supporters' heads explode over that, it's likewise a dark power that, unfortunately, the system has wielded well for
yes.
too many years,
yes.
and that is the infamous, it depends on what the definition of is.
Oh, not that again.
Syndrome.
Yeah, understood.
You know, it's true. Has she taken a big fat check that is made out from ExxonMobil? No, she has not. However, are people who push ExxonMobil cutting her big fat checks? Yes. So there you go. And I like Bernie's, it was Bernie who said on one of the talk shows, look, we'll just let the voters take a look at it and let them decide. He stands by his comments, but he's moving down the road. There are too many other things for him to be focused on right now, including Hillary Clinton trying to suggest that he was dodging her on debate dates, which is totally ridiculous.
Well, that does seem to be the case, because she did propose a debate date that would be during the NCAA Final Four games. I mean,
with
come on.
Syracuse in the race.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, that's a little disingenuous. It seemed like they were trying to repeat the previous tactic that the campaign had, and that the Democratic National Committee and Debbie Wasserman Schultz had, and that was scheduling debates for the worst practical times that they could find, so it would decrease the viewership and decrease the effect of the debates would have. So, you know, that's not a positive thing. I have to condemn that.
I wish she or her campaign would just come out and be honest about it, because we all know the reason there. And they could honestly come out and say, look, we're in the lead. And there's a positive to that. Look, we're in the lead. We feel as though our message has gotten out and the voters have heard our message. We're content where we're at, you know, because that's exactly why they do it. Like, the old adage goes in politics, if you're in the lead, there's no reason for you to show up on a debate stage, because only one thing happens. You lose.
Well, Donald Trump has been and using that same tactic. And, you know, I understand it. And there is a logic to it. And a certain validity to it if you're the front runner. And, of course, they want to protect their lead that they have right now, especially with the Sanders campaign winning, six out of the last seven elections now, and they're on a roll. And, you know, they're increasing their delegates, and they're closing the gap on the Clinton campaign. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And I was encouraged to see that when Bernie Sanders had that rally somewhere in New York, that it was very well attended. I don't remember exactly where it was.
Yeah, South Bronx.
Yeah, that's right. It was in the South Bronx. So that was very well attended. And
you know, all those brown and black folks that don't support Bernie.
Exactly. There was a state legislator that was a black woman that was interviewed tonight on MSNBC, and she was talking about, you know, how the Sanders campaign is just so terrible with minority voters. Well, I like to turn that around. I think as soon as minority voters know about Bernie Sanders, that they become supporters. And that's been pretty consistent. And the fact is that they don't know Bernie Sanders as well as they have Hillary Clinton, because he hasn't been, nationally famous for as long as Hillary Clinton. And I think basically that's all that is. But you see these surrogates for the Clinton campaign, and what they do over and over is they blame the Sanders campaign for the fact that he's a relatively new candidate to national politics, and he's got less name recognition. Then they equate that with the fact that he's not appealing to minority voters, or the fact that he even cares about minority voters, and that's simply not the case. Don't you agree?
And by the numbers, Seth Armstrong has brought out a great piece. Her numbers are collapsing in the minority communities. You take a look how he did in Minnesota. He is leading in minority communities in Wisconsin right now, and nationwide in the polls. She only has him by like 7 or 8 points.
Oh, and I want to break in here. We have important sports news that our engineer here, Peter, would definitely want me to say on the air. We're watching in the studio. There is the NCAA basketball game between North Carolina and Villanova. It is in the second quarter, and it's tied 74-74, just for you people that follow basketball. Back to politics, Michael. So take it away.
Oh, good. I'm just flat out saying that. There are two factors at work here. Number one, I agree wholeheartedly with you. There was the name recognition. And likewise, in all fairness to the Clinton campaign, up to the point where Clinton ran when he first got into the presidency, it is arguable that he did more outreach to the African-American community than any previous president had. And it, just from a campaigning standpoint.
Yes.
And they remember that. And I totally respect them for remembering that.
Yes.
Part two, likewise, there was the bubble of an economy at that point when Clinton was around. And there are an awful lot of folks in communities of color who were doing better while he was in power.
Yes, yes.
There is no question.
I remember all those things as well.
Where the disconnect is in recognizing the policies that he enabled that caused such amazing devastation to communities of color over the ensuing years after he left. And that's slowly but surely coming around, I believe. And then secondly, that's the unknown element thing, where Bernie, as well as that information, hits a threshold point out in the public discussion. And then secondly, South versus North. so much of the minority domination, as far as Clinton was concerned, was in states where she was already going to dominate, in Republican southern states. They are just, everybody across the board is more conservative.
Yes.
White, Hispanic, Black, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody is more conservative. Now we're getting to the rest of the country, and Bernie is doing quite well with the minority communities. I'm looking forward to some really nice numbers in New York.
Yes, correct. I am too. It'll be very interesting to see what happens over the next few days, as it has been through this entire primary election process. So, Michael, coming to the end of this segment, any final comments as we wrap up?
Sure. Just everybody realize the phrase that Bernie uses. This is we, not me, us, not me. I forget the phrase now. It's fallen out of my head. In any event, this is about a people's movement here, first and foremost. This isn't about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is merely a channeling tool, as it were. Bernie has lived these visions of reality for his entire life. But as he says, this is totally impossible to do without us. And so you can go to BernieSanders.com/phonebank, jump on the phone bank from anywhere, do 10 minutes, and you'll be having a very positive effect on the process. And likewise, Progressive Democrats of America is my employer. We're a 527 PAC who cannot coordinate officially with Bernie's campaign. However, we have a separate phone bank. If for some reason Bernie's does not suit your needs in any way, you can always contact us. You can get me at MikeFox@pdamerica.org, and we can get you involved on a phone bank that will pull votes, but that is totally separate of what Bernie's doing in his in-house campaign.
Okay, Michael Fox, thank you so much. I have one more important note from the sports. The NCAA championship game just ended. I have to correct myself. I said in previous comment that it was second quarter. It's actually second half is what I should have said. And the game has ended. Villanova has won 77-74. They won by 3 points right at the buzzer. Correct, Peter?
4.7 seconds left in the game. Villanova just won the game 77-74 over North Carolina. Unbelievable.
4.7 seconds left, and they got that last basket.
Heartbreaking,
so,
North Carolina.
Yes. Wow, what a game. So, anyway, that completes this segment. Thank you so much, Michael, for appearing on Spectrum 360 one more time. I love your analysis, and thank you so much for being a great friend of the program this year.
Rock on, Mark.
Thank you. That was Michael Fox. And, of course, he's the state director for Florida for the Progressive Democrats of America and a Bernie Sanders campaign organizer extraordinaire. And he's also a Spectrum 360 primary election analyst for the year 2016. And that's what it's become. We've had Michael Fox on for his perspective for multiple weeks now, and it's really developed into a great relationship with Spectrum 360. And I value so much his insight. And notification of full disclosure, the Spectrum 360 endorsement committee, an editorial committee, did decide to do an endorsement in the United States presidential election, in the primary election in the Democratic Party. And the endorsement went to U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders. And there are members of the Spectrum 360 staff that are actively supporting and volunteering with the Bernie Sanders campaign. We want to disclose that in each and every program that we discuss the election and the Sanders campaign and the Clinton campaigns. You can make your own judgment as to the validity and perspective of the coverage. And that is going to be ongoing. The primary election is not over. It's continuing, and it's been a very, very interesting year. So just so you know where the people in this program stand. I have invited representatives of the Clinton campaign on this program. We have not been contacted to date. We have not been able to schedule a Clinton campaign representative on this program. We will continue to try because we want the Clinton campaign's perspective as well. And if you heard the coverage that we just did, I believe it was pretty well balanced. In fact, at one or two points, I was defending the Clinton campaign. So I think we're doing fair and balanced coverage here on Spectrum 360, even though there has been an endorsement for the Sanders campaign. Truth is truth, facts are facts, and we have to report those as they are, factually, and then we have our opinions. And they are two different things. So having said that, we'll move on to the next segment in just a second. And now to segment two for this week's Spectrum 360. And this is, of course, the weekly Jim Hightower commentary for this edition. And this week's commentary will start with a personal note and a Jim Hightower commentary program note directly from Jim himself on the future of the Jim Hightower commentary. And then a Hightower commentary on the subject of the Republican Party platform and should the country adopt it. And like I said in the program introduction, this is not what you may think. Listen closely to the second part of this after the program note, okay? Take it away, Jim.
Today, please allow me to have a personal moment with you regular listeners to my Hightower Radio commentaries. For nearly 25 years now, I've proudly been radioactive. I don't mean contaminated with radiation, but joyfully using this wonderful megaphone called radio to spread an undiluted populist message all across the country and beyond. Since 1993, I've been airing my two-minute Little Pops of Populism five times a week on about 200 terrific stations like this one. In the past couple of years, however, I've taken on several extra loads of work, including the development of other progressive media resources, trying to connect various populist groups into a nationwide grassroots network, traveling all over to support the growing number of populist issue campaigns and candidates, and expanding the internet outreach of my Hightower Lowdown newsletter and podcasts. Find them at hightowerlowdown.org. To keep all of this flowing and to keep me on the top side of the grass, I need to rebalance my workload. That doesn't mean I would give up my Pops of Populism broadcasts. After all, staying radioactive is what lets me connect directly to you, generating irreplaceable feedback and ideas from the local community. Rather, I'm simply reducing the frequency of the commentaries to two new commentaries each week, combined with three of my classic commentaries. This will keep them and me fresh. Each one will remain 100% pure populist and will be delivered, as we say in Texas, with a passion hotter than high school love. This is Jim Hightower saying thank you, thanks to you who keep tuning in for my populist take and to all of you activists who respond to my frequent calls for grassroots action. And thanks especially to the radio stations that are keeping my populist voice and viewpoint on the public airwaves. Please stay tuned, and let's keep being radioactive together. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org. Well, I did not expect this. The National Republican Party has published an official policy document showing that the GOP really might be more than a gaggle of serve-the-rich plutocrats and wacky, trumped-up right-wingers. Just when you thought the party was consuming itself in the know-nothingism of its presidential pretenders and the recalcitrant do-nothingism of its Congress critters, out comes a sign of sanity. In this 18-page manifesto, the party proclaims that, quote, our government was created by the people for all the people, and it must serve no less a purpose. All the people. Forget pontifications by Wall Street billionaires dividing America into virtuous creators, like themselves, and worthless moochers, like you and me. This document abounds with commitments to the common good. Quote, America does not prosper, it proudly proclaims on page 3. Unless all Americans prosper. Wow, that's downright democratic. And how's this for a complete turnaround? Labor is the United States. The men and women who, with their minds, their hearts, and hands, create the wealth that is shared in this country, they are America. Holy Koch brothers, share the wealth? Yes, and how about this? The protection of the right of workers to organize into unions and to bargain collectively is the firm and permanent policy of the Republican Party. Eat your heart out, Scott Walker, and you other labor-bashing GOP governors. The document also supports our public postal service, the United Nations, equal rights for women, expanding our national parks, vigorous enforcement of antitrust laws, and raising the minimum wage. New enlightenment in the grand old party. Hallelujah! This is Jim Hightower saying, can all this be true? Believe it or not, yes it is, except it's not new. This document is the Republican Party platform of 1956.
If you like these feisty pops of populism that Hightower zings out on the airwaves, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter provides the in-depth lowdown on what the greed heads of Wall Street and the boneheads of Washington are doing to us behind the scenes. With Hightower's saucy Texas humor and truth-telling populist perspective, the lowdown literally can lift you up. And get this, you can have the lowdown delivered to your mailbox or email each month for only $15 a year. Yes, 12 issues, only 15 bucks. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
I'd like to tell my Spectrum 360 listeners about my friends at Ocean 6. Ocean 6 is a company that provides a variety of high-quality packaged seafood, chicken, pork, and beef products, frozen, and delivered directly to the front door of your residence. It doesn't get any easier than that. The food is great, the service is excellent, and I am a customer of Ocean 6 myself. Lately, I've been enjoying using their seafood products, especially my favorites, the jumbo shrimp and the shrimp scampi. Good. To get yours, you can call the same man who provides Ocean 6 products for my family. His name is Mark, like myself, and you can call him at 727-623-8015. That's 727-623-8015. The Ocean 6 website is ocean6.net. Again, that's ocean6.net. Get it? .net. Like the net where that wonderful Ocean 6 seafood comes from. Call or click today and get yours. Yes, that's the Jim Hightower commentary for this week. So we have a schedule change in how the Jim Hightower commentary is scheduled and produced, but it will continue and it will be on this program every week. It will not affect what we do on this program because the Jim Hightower commentary is a weekly feature on Spectrum 360 and will continue to be so. Okay, on to segment three. And this is two film previews. First, a new film by Josh Fox, who was the producer of Gasland 1 and 2, which are great documentary films, which I thought were just wonderful and were revelations. He now has a new film, and we're going to hear the trailer of that, and we'll have information about a film tour that's happening in Florida this week that Josh Fox is conducting to promote this new film before it opens in general release in theaters on April 22nd. Of course, this is April 4th, so we're still 18 days away from the general wide release of this film, but we're going to preview it now, and it will be touring in Florida this week. We'll have more information on this as we listen to the film preview audio. And this is just great. The film is How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Change Can't Change. So let's listen to that, and I'll have commentary as we go on the trailer.
All I wanted was just to stay here, to stay at home, to be left alone. Person stop a wave? Could you stand on the shore and stop a wave from crashing?
Well, no, you can't, but you can see the film tomorrow in Orlando. That's going to be April 5th, Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the University of Central Florida Psychology Building, 4000 Central Boulevard. Yes, go see it. We'll have more information in a second.
What are the things that climate change can't destroy? What are those parts of us that are so deep that no storm can take them away?
Well, it turns out there's a lot of them. So tomorrow, April 5th, Tuesday, 6 p.m. in Orlando at the UCF Psychology Building, 4000 Central Florida Boulevard. You'll have the chance to see this. It's sponsored by Sustainability Initiatives and Ideas for UCF. Yes. And then also, April 6th in Jacksonville, 6:30 p.m., and in Pensacola on April 7th at 5:30 p.m. That's Central Time, of course, in Pensacola. So that's some audio from the film preview or trailer from that new film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Change Can't Change. I am hoping to see this film tomorrow in Orlando, with the possibility that Josh Fox, the producer and director, will be in attendance. I'm not sure about that. I've not confirmed that yet. But remember, you have three opportunities in Florida to see this film tomorrow, and also Wednesday and Thursday. So Tuesday in Orlando, Wednesday in Jacksonville, and then Thursday in Pensacola. In Jacksonville, it's going to be located at the Sunray Cinemas. That's 1027 Park Street in Jacksonville, Florida, 32204. And in Pensacola on April 7th at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, it's going to be at Pensacola State College Hagler Auditorium. That's 100 College Boulevard in Pensacola. So look for those films. Go out and see it. It's an important film, and I encourage you to see it. I'm excited to see it tomorrow. And just based on the strength of the two first films that he produced, Gasland 1 and 2, this should be excellent. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing and supporting this film. And that's why we're talking about it on this week's Spectrum 360. And also, I want to move on to rebroadcasting the film preview audio for the great film Hot Water. This is a very important documentary about uranium tailings and radiation in our water supply in the United States. Has some just absolutely mind-blowing information, which I think indicates some of the stupidest things that have gone on and that have happened in all of human history. And that's not an exaggeration. That's how important this film is. So listen to the film preview audio of Hot Water, and then we will move on to the final segment for this week's Spectrum 360. Enjoy. Thank you.
Why did I make the film in the first place? It pissed me off. Finding out what we found out pissed me off. And I couldn't pretend not to know what I knew. People are getting sick from drinking their water. We went to South Dakota to make a documentary about some ranchers who were getting sick from their water.
You get downwind from Riley Pass uranium mine, there's an awful lot of cancer.
Then we found out how far-reaching the problem is. Everything changed.
What is causing all this cancer is uranium in the water. I know what my dad's spigot is hot.
We've lost so many up and down a creek with cancer, with that stuff.
Even up to 50 years ago, our people could drink that water, and now they can't. And it's from all these abandoned uranium mines.
People have to acknowledge that there's a strong possibility that uranium is getting into underground water supplies.
Nobody tests for radiation and uranium. No cities, no counties, no states.
That's one of the ways the uranium mining industry continues to say it's safe. It's because it's very difficult to prove.
The reality is you're changing the whole geochemistry of that aquifer when you do that mining. And so to bring that elevated concentration back down to drinking water standard is going to be impossible to do.
When we started filming, we thought this was just going to be a one-state issue. We covered 9 states and thousands of miles and didn't even begin to touch all of the sites where the contamination is lying on the ground or in the groundwater already.
Water killed my mother. I've been drinking this water my whole life, you know, as it's slowly chipping away at me.
They make a lot of money getting uranium. They can sure pay for my burials.
Warning signs should be posted about the uranium danger.
And we just keep adding loved ones. And this isn't something we get over. It just spins its ugly head in a different way.
This whole question of nuclear power is at a watershed moment. It's too expensive, it's too dangerous, it's environmentally threatening.
And we don't know how to deal with the mining issues, the waste of the mining, the tailings. We're poisoning ourselves and our planet. And it's a shady bet that we're really going to be able to deal with this stuff in the time that we have.
If our representatives knew how dangerous this truly is, they would be making very different decisions about how we handle uranium.
I'm living proof. My family's living well. dying proof that it's here and we're sitting on poison water.
Okay, we're going to go to the final segment here, and that is, of course, the speech by Michael Bruin, executive director of the Sierra Club, at the press conference announcing the Sierra Club's Ready for 100 campaign. This is from Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2016, at the Sierra Club State of Florida State Headquarters Office. That's 1990 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, just a few miles from where Spectrum 360 is produced in the Spectrum, Sunburst Media Productions production studio, just a few miles away from there. And this is a good speech. I wanted to bring the speech in its entirety to you this week on Spectrum 360 to have the entire context of the speech here for you. It's 10 minutes and 36 seconds long, and this will tell you more about this important Ready for 100 campaign initiative that Sierra Club is starting all across the country. And it's interesting indeed, and very timely, and very needed. So enjoy, listen to this for 10 minutes, 36 seconds. Michael Bruin, executive director of the Sierra Club.
This country's history. Michael Bruin is executive director of the Sierra Club. And during his short tenure at the Sierra Club, he has successfully led our nation's environmental movement toward the end of coal in this country. A defeat for the Keystone XL pipeline. And we're moving on. We're moving on to 100% clean energy future. Mike Bruin's name, his stamp, is all over that. And it's my great pleasure to have him in St. Petersburg to launch this project and to greet you. Mike.
Thank you, Brandon. Hi, everybody. So, it's really great to be here today for a couple reasons. First, this is awesome. And I'm really excited to hear in a couple minutes about the success of this building over the first 3 years and how the building has been able to produce more energy than it consumes. So it's not even a net zero building anymore. It's a clean energy positive building. But it's particularly gratifying to come here to talk about 100% clean energy because in Tampa is the location of my first Sierra Club meeting 6 years ago. It was 6 years ago, across the bay, where the Sierra Club Board of Directors had its meeting, and I had just been hired. And we had a discussion about the long-term future of the Sierra Club and what kind of organization we wanted the Sierra Club to be, what we stood for, not just what we stood against, but what we stood for. And this was in February of 2010. And at the time, we were looking at what could the Sierra Club do that could be most impactful on climate change? What single thing could we do could have the biggest effect on clean energy, and how can we unite communities all across the country? So what we decided then was that we need to invest in our grassroots, we need to invest in people, and we need to invest in organizing to produce a vision that would inspire people across the country. At the time, in February of 2010, activists, community organizers, and activists all across the country had worked together to stop about 160 new coal-fired power plants all across the country. And so let's think about what we've done in the last 6 years. And I want to talk about the thing that has been the most historic in the last 6 years. What has been the most historic thing that we've seen in the last 6 years has not been the fact that we have been successful in stopping the construction of almost every new coal-fired power plant that was proposed from one coast of the country to the other, although that's pretty awesome. It's not the fact that since January 1st of 2010, together we have secured the retirement of 230 existing coal-fired power plants from one part of the country. not the fact that we defeated Keystone, or that we pushed Shell out of the Arctic, or that we stopped oil drilling in the Atlantic seaboard, although all that's pretty good too. Not even the fact that we signed an agreement in Paris last year where 190 countries all agreed to work together. Basically, every institution in the world has committed to cut their carbon, except for Republicans in the Senate. It's not even right that we have almost every country agreeing to cut their carbon and scale up clean energy. The thing that is most important, the thing that is changing the world right now, is that because of all of this activism, because of people in the 1970s and the 1980s and the 1990s who began to install solar on the rooftops of their churches, of their businesses, of their homes, who advocated at the local level, at the state level, for renewable portfolio standards, because of activists who stopped new coal plants, who shut down existing coal plants, who began to shut down natural gas-fired power plants, because of all of this work, because of people who invested in electric vehicles, who bought their own electric vehicles, who pushed cities like St. Pete to invest in electric buses, because of all of this, what has happened is that clean energy is cheaper than dirty fuels.
Yes!
Solar and wind in a majority of the country right now, in a majority of countries around the world right now, solar and wind are cheaper than gas, cheaper than coal, cheaper than nuclear power. The solutions are cheaper than the problem. So what does that mean? What that means, for the first time in history, we can build our civilization with power that is 100% safe, 100% secure, 100% sustainable. Think about that. Think about the time in which we live. We are living in a time where we're going to create a society that is powered by 100% clean energy for everybody, that works for everyone. Every time we replace a coal plant or a natural gas plant with solar or wind, that is irreversible. We'll never go back. Every time that we decide to shut down a new nuclear power plant, or not build a nuclear power plant, not build a natural gas pipeline, decide not to crack in our watersheds, or not to blow up our mountains with coal, that is the last time we'll have to make that decision. Raise your hand if you think that 15, 20 years from now, people will get nostalgic for mercury pollution in their tumors. Raise your hand if you think that people will miss watching their children use inhalers so that they can breathe. Think about what we're a part of. We are a part of an amazing movement together that is teaching our country and the rest of the world how to power their economy with clean energy. So what you all know, the reason why you're here is because you're activists. You know that this will be a fight. You know that companies like Exxon, Chevron, Shell, Peabody Coal, you know that there are governors across the country who are going to double down on this fight. And they will want to cling to fossil fuel power. So what do we need to do? We need to do three things. Organize. That's all we need to do. Talk to your friends. You need to bring your cousins, your grandparents, your grandkids, your neighbors, your frenemies, everybody, because we can work together to build an economy that's powered by clean energy. What we know is that the challenge of climate change is only getting more severe. It's only getting more stark. There's a powerful article in the New York Times today about the threats that climate change posed, not to society 80 years or 70 years or even 50 years from now, but in this generation. We know that the challenge of climate change has never been more extreme, has never been more severe. But what we also know is that changing the way in which we get our energy isn't just a problem for us to solve. It's an opportunity for us to seize. We don't need to build pipelines that divide our country in two. We can invest in clean energy that will bring us all together. We don't have to be exporting natural gas or exporting coal. We can be exporting clean energy solutions. So I'm thrilled to be here in St. Petersburg. I'm thrilled that this is one of the first cities to ignite this movement for 100% clean energy. And I will be back here for the victory party this November. We need to fight, and we need to be smart, and we need to be hopeful and visionary about the future that we're working to create. It is good for us to stop fracking in every state that we can. It is smart for us to organize against every coal plant and coal ash dump site and coal mining site in the country. It is imperative that we organize for strong national and global standards for clean energy. But we have to be willing to articulate a vision for what we stand for. We need to be making sure that when we advocate for clean energy, we're advocating for policies that work for everybody. In particular, for low-income communities, communities of color, that need to be locked into the benefits of the clean energy economy, just as they've been locked out of the benefits of the growing economy of the past. We need to make sure that we are inclusive in our organizing, and that we bring communities together around a unified vision that works for everybody. Just like this building is an example for the rest of the country for how we can bring about increased prosperity through clean energy investments, what happens in St. Petersburg can be an example for the rest of the world for an economy that's based on 100% clean energy that works for everybody.
Okay, that was Michael Bruhn. He's the executive director of the Sierra Club, and that was the press conference announcing the Sierra Club Ready for 100 campaign on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2016, at the Sierra Club Florida State Headquarters Office. That's 1990 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. And before Spectrum 360 ends tonight, I'm going to bring on, as a special feature of this program, the host of the Sports Web on WTAN and our sports advisor on Spectrum 360. Please welcome to the program Peter H. Blake. He's going to give us a recap, a synopsis of the NCAA men's basketball championship game that was won. Who won it again?
Villanova, 77-74, and one of the most unbelievable games I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I know there's a lot of people out there. And you have to think about this for a minute. You usually don't see these type of games, not in the national championship game. It doesn't usually come down to the final shot.
Yes.
And you have to, hats off to Villanova, hats off to North Carolina, because in this game, North Carolina is down double digits, at least by 10, 11 points. They come back. Marcus Page hits an amazing shot. It leaves Villanova with 4.7 seconds. All you think is, well, all you have to do is play defense. Well, don't tell Chris Jenkins that, because he hits a big three-pointer with 4.7 seconds at the buzzer, and Villanova wins their first national championship since 1985. Unbelievable run by Villanova. You got to feel bad for North Carolina, but this whole tournament, Mark, has been just unbelievable. I mean, if you love good college basketball, upsets, buzzer beaters, this was the tournament for you.
Yes. And I was discussing with Peter, it reminded me of my junior year in high school when our high school, Anoka High School in Anoka, Minnesota, won the state basketball tournament. That was quite a rush for me as well when I was in high school. And this kind of reminded me of the same thing. Come back next week for more Spectrum 360. We'll have another great program for you. So listen next week for more Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.